with all heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. Thank you so much for the wonderful gift of life and health and strength. Consecrate me now to thy spirit, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of thine heart be acceptable in thine sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God said amen. Amen, amen. What a joy, what a delight it is to once again be alive. And we just thank God for this preaching moment. I want to invite your attention to James chapter 1. I'd like to read in your hearing verses 5 through 7. And if you have found it, say amen. Amen. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let me read verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So ends the reading of God's word. I want to preach from the theme, Wisdom's Cry. Please don't ignore me. Wisdom's Cry. Please don't ignore me. As I looked at this text, I was convicted. I know, confession is good for the soul and bad for the reputation, but I was arrested by this word, wisdom. It's a weighty word. It's a word of promise and potential. But it's also a word that is often missed in our church language and vernacular. We talk about the grace of God, the mercy of God, justification, sanctification, the promises of God, all good stuff, redemption, Calvary, the cross, good stuff. But I will submit to you this morning that wisdom is often missing from our vocabulary. Do I have a witness today? Shame the devil and tell the truth. When was the last time you really decided to, in earnest, to pray for wisdom? Wisdom, the capacity to see things from God's perspective and respond according to scriptural principles. Wisdom, the capacity to apply spiritual truth to our daily decisions. Wisdom, the knowledge of God's word, understanding the word of God, and applying the word of God to our lives. Wisdom. And all wisdom comes from God. And make no mistake, wisdom is a gift that only he can impart. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." Wisdom is mentioned 367 times in the Holy Writ. Anything mentioned that many times deserves some attention. It demands that we pause and find out just what this word wisdom means and how it can impact our lives. God has much to say about wisdom. The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. Proverbs 19:8. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Proverbs 16:16. And Proverbs 4:6-7. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all, get understanding. You would think that given the significance of wisdom and the benefits from wisdom, that we would spend much more time going after wisdom. Let me try this. You need wisdom if you want to have a healthy marriage. Amen. Come on, married folk, don't leave me out here. Amen. Hallelujah. You need wisdom to deal with your adult children. I thought that might get you. Yeah. You need wisdom in terms of how to talk to each other. What we say out of our mouths, how we say it. We need wisdom before we push send. You need wisdom if you're going to learn to love as Christ loved. You're going to need wisdom if you're going to handle your finances in a way that honors Christ. You need wisdom in your workplace. You need wisdom with some of the folks you live next door to. You need wisdom if you're trying to lose this belly. Push away from some things. Wisdom is so involved in so many of the decisions that you and I make daily, beloved, and I'm afraid that too often we don't take the time to find out from God, I need your wisdom, not just today, but I need your wisdom every day. I need to apply biblical principles to the decisions that I make. Lord, I need your wisdom. I'm trying to do better with my mouth. I'm trying to do better with my finances. And I cannot do it apart from your wisdom. What often happens is that we run up against something and we take the limited knowledge and insight that we have and we make decisions, and those decisions cost us. Wisdom requires that we slow down and see just what God has to say about the matter. Our lives would be so much different if we would slow down and say, Lord, I can't, I know you can, and what I desperately need is your wisdom. I'm running up against something that I am absolutely clueless. And if your wisdom does not help me in and through this, I really don't know how it's going to turn out. Have you ever been that desperate? Have you ever been to that place where, if God, if you don't show up in this, if I don't hear from you, I'm liable to mess it up, and I have a track record and a trail of how I have ruined and wrecked things because I did not wait to find out what thus saith the Lord in this matter. But there's hope. That's the beauty of knowing Christ. You can pivot and go the other way and begin to recognize the value and importance of wisdom. Let me challenge you. I would challenge you for your devotions, just for maybe a season, indulge me, that you begin to read Proverbs, their 30 chapters. Read one each day. Just hang out in Proverbs and see what the Lord is saying, what kind of wisdom he is imparting to you. Take one a day, that's all. Just one a day. It's 31 chapters. One a day. And have your own revival as it relates to godly wisdom. Lord, it's your wisdom that I'm seeking. I'm going to start in your word. Then I'm going to work my way into prayer. I'm just throwing it out there. Because wisdom has the ability to transform our lives. He mentioned it over 300 times. It means that it is important. It means that our wisdom matters to him. God wants the best for us. And his wisdom, when we walk in it, because that's the operative word, you know, he can display and let us know what his wisdom is, and we still go the other way. So it's not enough to simply be acquainted with wisdom, but now I want to walk in the path of wisdom. James gives us a blueprint, if you will, in terms of how to acquire godly wisdom. The first thing we need to do is recognize the need for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, it really means since you lack wisdom. Yeah. Ain't no doubt we ain't got wisdom. On a good day, our wisdom is not where it could or should be. So you know, I love it, if you happen to lack. No. Since we lack wisdom, there's a certain amount of humility when I suggest or say I need help. There's a certain dependency, if you will. I'm going to him and I'm saying, I lack. That word lack means a deficit, a shortage. I have a deficit, I have a shortage in wisdom. And Lord, I'm confessing it unto you. I'm that one, I lack wisdom. So part of it is coming to terms with our own limitations, that I'm really not that smart. I know we done matriculated to places, got degrees. Now, look, some stuff run up against you that Bible can't help you with right away. You're going to have to say, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. Is this someone, I done run up against something. Can you show me something? Because I ain't ran up against nothing like this before in my life. Life will do that to you, and part of it is making the admission. I recognize that it is your wisdom that I need. So listen, that frees us up from trying to figure it out ourselves. You can't get through it, you can't get around it, you can't get above it, but I need the wisdom from a heavenly Father, a sovereign God, who can tell me, by way of his word, the Holy Spirit, experiences, a mentor, what I should do in this situation. I'm glad that he gives us that open door. I mean, even Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 2:52, even Jesus recognized the need and importance of wisdom. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and the favor with God and man. Isn't that amazing? He grew in wisdom and stature. He experienced favor from God and man. That's one of the benefits of wisdom. I don't know about you, I want the favor of God. I have to begin to get a point where I make seeking wisdom a priority in my life. Because every day we're making decisions, we're making choices, and some of them are major choices. And I don't want to do this on my own when he is telling me if I lack wisdom, that he's available to help me. That's a portrait of a loving and caring papa that wants to see his children do well. So he beckons them, come on to me. I've got the wisdom that you need. And I said, well, why is this wisdom thing so important? And then he tells us, I'm really not making this up. He tells us in verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. One reason I need wisdom is because various trials are going to come suddenly. That word fall means suddenly, unannounced. And then he says various, different kinds. I'm glad he didn't start naming them. He said you're going to catch it from different places, and it's going to appear suddenly. You're not even going to perhaps even be prepared for it, but it may be on the way. So you better start getting your wisdom account paid up so that when it comes, you'll know what to do. He said, count it. And he wasn't telling them so much as how to feel. He says, count it all joy. He's saying, count means I want you to look at it this way. When you go through your trials, I want you to consider this as you go through that. And then I want you to find delight in it. Now, he's not saying be delighted when you get a diagnosis from the doctor that you're about to die in 6 weeks or you've been laid up. No. It's more of a God is up to something and all things are working together for your good, so therefore you can delight that God is forming you, he's fashioning you, and molding you more into his likeness and his image. Therefore, I can have joy because I know about my Heavenly Father, his faithfulness, his grace, his mercy will sustain me. I have a track record. I've been between a rock and a hard place before, and I have experienced the graciousness of God. So therefore, I have a sense of joy about what God is going to do in and through me. Come on with me now. That's what I got. I don't have to walk around and look like what I'm going through. That my joy is based upon what I know about him. And what I know about him ought to make joy bells ring in my soul. My soul, I'll get excited my own self. That I get excited because of the joy that I have. I know my daddy, I know my father. And therefore I can have a sense of joy. And wisdom makes you act like that. You're not going to act like that if you ain't got no wisdom. You don't know him. I don't expect the world to carry on like that. But when you know him, when you have history with him, when you've seen him make a way out of no way, then that brings me a sense of joy. That's why he says you're going to lack wisdom, brother, because you're going to run up against some stuff. Those unannounced things are going to come your way. And you're going to have the wisdom of God carrying you through when it shows up. He's forming you, fashioning you, making you better. And we don't want that. I understand that. I got that. But as long as you're alive, stuff gonna happen. So just get your Maylock, sit down, and be ready to deal with it. I love this poem. It's called In the Valley I Grow by Tracy Mayfield. It's an old poem. I'm not going to read all of it to you. I don't want to bore you, but she says some things. It says, sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on a mountaintop and never experienced some pain, I would never appreciate God's love, and my living would be in vain. I have so much to learn, and my growth is very slow. Sometimes I need mountaintops, but it's in the valleys that I grow. Wisdom looks at trials differently. It's in the valleys I grow my prayer life. It's in the valleys I develop a devotional life. It's in the valleys that I develop love and seeing Christ in a different way. He reveals himself differently. Sometimes, beloved, it's in the valley that we are going to grow, so I'm going to joy my way through. Amen. The baby going with me. I love it. Amen. Amen. And it's amazing. He just wants to for us to be ever mindful that he allows these things, and the wisdom of God allows us. Because, see, trials, I know about you. Trials can sometimes can be confusing. It's not always neat as you go through some stuff. I wish it was, but it's not. It gets nasty and sloppy. The trials can create confusion. You haven't dealt with this before. You've never seen this. You're not sure what to do. Even in Psalm 25, David felt overwhelmed by his enemies. His own guilt began to bother him. But David says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. That's what I want wisdom to do. To be able to teach me as I go through. That's no time to lean into your own understanding when you're going through some trials. Scripture warns us, lean not into thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he promised to direct our paths. I got to be willing to lay pride down. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. All of these warnings against taking things into your own hands instead of relying upon the wisdom of God. Let me move. Something else he tells us here, we see, as we look at this blueprint of godly wisdom. And we have to desire wisdom. It's not enough to recognize that you need it. But I have to desire wisdom. Look at what he says. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. That's wonderful. When he says ask, he means come with authority or boldness. Be adamant in the requesting and demanding. A sense of urgency. It's a command. He's making it clear. Ask me. Isn't that quite an invitation? I mean, think about it. The God of the universe, the creator, said, come and ask me. And I will give you liberally the wisdom that you need. That's a promise. So you wrestling with this thing, trying to make it work on your own, And he's telling you all along, ask me. I don't care what it is. I don't care how long you've been going through it. I don't care how difficult it is. He's giving us a command to ask him. Again, that takes the weight off of us. I want to challenge you this week. Start asking him. And stop trying to figure it out yourself. Because you can't. He's commanding you to come and ask him. And he's saying, I will give it to you liberally. That's like an open hand. I'll give you as much wisdom as your behind can handle. Excuse my vernacular, but I mean, no, really, I don't see anywhere where it says there's a limit to the amount of wisdom that he will give us. Aren't you glad that he doesn't operate on a quota system? No, you came back last week and you really didn't do what I told you last week, so you really expect me to do something with you this week? He doesn't act like that. He said, I'll give it to you. See, here's the truth. Let me tell you. You may be here today and you're wondering how. How am I going to deal with this situation that I'm facing? I now have been thrusted into the role of being a caregiver. I wasn't looking for this, but looks like that's going to be my lot for the next while. And how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay this child's tuition when I've got more month than money? And how am I going to deal with this sickness that I'm dealing with? We have a lot of how questions. And the how is wrapped up into submitting and turning to him for wisdom. He's the source of how to deal with our how question. I know you don't know how, but I do. And I've been waiting for you to come to me. So it's good to see you. I mean, we can have that kind of dialogue. People think that's strange. That's not strange. He's my papa. He's my daddy. I can engage him like that. We're personal. We make this thing so formal and difficult. No, I can approach him like that. He's got all this wisdom available, and we're not taking advantage of it. Included. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? I don't want to be in that group. We're so busy. We got a lot going on. We don't have time to be petitioning him for wisdom. You don't know what I'm dealing with. Man, I'm busy. I'm important. I got stuff to do. Keep it up. Wisdom is saying, here I am. At the gate, here I am. I got what you need. I challenge you to, whatever the situation, make praying for God's wisdom a priority. And as you pray, be specific. Make it clear what it is that you need him to do in your situation. Lord, make it plain. Make it clear so I not miss what you would have me to do as I deal with this. I want to honor you. I want to walk with you. I desire to draw closer to you, and I need your wisdom. So as I pray, as I come to you, make your wisdom clear to me. Gotta move. Last thing is this. A blueprint for getting God's godly wisdom. is you've got to meet the conditions. Recognize the need and then desire. And he said, make sure that when you ask, ask in faith, not wavering, not doubting. In other words, Lord, it's you only that I'm relying on for my wisdom. I don't quite trust man's wisdom, but I'm trusting you. I don't want one foot in the world and one foot trusting you. It's an all for nothing. I'm all in for you. What you said, and you did say that if I did this, you would do that. Maybe it's a help. I was watching some coverage of this Hurricane Dorian the other day. My daughter called. She said, you know, there's a crew of women who are on this plane, and they're going through the eye of the storm. And I said, no, they're not. They really are. So I did a little research and found out this was the Air Force WC-130 aircraft, Super Hercules. It's from the 53rd Weather Reconnaissance Squadron, AKA Hurricane Hunters. These women and men, they go, listen, this thing is huge. You get home, look it up. I mean, it's humongous. And they take this plane and they go directly into the eye of the storm. What fascinated me is that they gave an inside feed of what they were doing while they were going through the storm. Amazing. What I noticed was the complete confidence that they had in this aircraft. It wasn't violently moving. It was just cruising along, and they were simply doing whatever it is they were doing. No one was doubting. No one was saying, oh my gosh, we're going through this thing. What are we gonna do? None of that. They just had complete confidence in this aircraft that they were in. And they just quietly did their jobs, taking photographs, measuring this and that. And I said to myself, what if the people of God had that same kind of confidence in God when we were able to make our requests known unto him? We would not be panicking, we would not be fretting, but we would just be trusting God to carry us through the storms that come into our lives. Yeah. They didn't panic, they weren't afraid, they just... No one double-minded, well, we might make it, we might not, well, what... They just calmly went through the storm in the aircraft, trusting the aircraft and each other. When I go to him and ask for wisdom, I don't want to come doubting or thinking he may or he may not. Lord, you said it, and I trust you, and I thank you in advance for deliverance. Thank you in advance for showing me how to deal with this. Thank you for revealing to me how your wisdom makes all the difference in my life. It's amazing. He said, don't, if you come in with divided loyalties, unsure, he said, that man ought not expect to get anything. In other words, don't expect to get your prayer answered as it relates to wisdom if you are constantly doubting him. He said, that person's not going to get much from me. I need you to be all in with no doubt. After all, we are approaching the sovereign God, the one who can do any and everything. Nothing's too hard for him. So I'm going to trust him with my situation, knowing that he's able. And listen, because you have sent that request out doesn't mean that he's all of a sudden going to show up immediately. Doesn't always work that way. But he will keep me maybe from making some folly, some foolish decisions, because now I'm getting wiser. I've been hanging out in his word. I've been praying. He's leading me, and I sense that this is what the Lord would have me to do. I've been hanging out in his word and prayer, and yes, it didn't come in a bolting light, but yet I do sense his wisdom speaking to me. I do feel the Holy Spirit convicting me to do this or to do that. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, you get a portrait of what wisdom looks like. And I want you to be able to hold on to this. And, you know, during those days when you're not too sure if you're hanging out in wisdom country, this may give you a clue. In chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's a selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For whenever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind." And here's a portrait of Christ that I saw, verse 17. "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. If it is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds, it shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." That's a portrait of Christ, if you think about it. You know, maybe we can look at that as a model of what wisdom can look like in our everyday lives. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. We thank you so much for this opportunity. We pray that as your word goes forth, it will fall on fertile soil, Lord. We pray for that person today who does not know you and a free pardon of their sin. We pray that this might be the day of decision, that they're willing to cast their light with you and become part of the body of Christ. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.